Well, we're going to start into a series of messages. We have 4 weeks to tell the glorious story of the greatest gift of all. His name is Jesus. And there's so many things that we can say. I turned to Sherry this morning. I said, you know, the difficult part is trying to bring the same theme in a fresh way to you year by year. How you hear and get something fresh out of it. But God did so much for us. And this is the time of year that we celebrate it. Now, you know, if you want to go to your scholarly text, you will find out probably that Jesus most likely was born in August or possibly September of the year. We know that. And you get really religious zealots who will say, well, this is a pagan ceremony, blah, 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 blah. And you know where my attitude is? Thank God it's a great time of year to be able to tell the gospel and good news of Jesus. And we have the opportunity to demonstrate that Christmas is more than tinsel and toys and wrapping, but that there's a message of good news that people need to hear. And the truth is, no matter what time of year he was born, it's great with me if we want to take this day and celebrate it. The reality is he was born. Amen. He came into this world as a baby, as an infant, to change you and to change me. The most life-changing, life-impacting, cataclysmic birth that ever occurred in all of history, hands down, bar none. What is it about a baby? What is it about a baby? Now in our world, 353 babies are born each day. 353,000 babies are born each day. How many are glad you didn't have that many all at once, ladies? About 255 births globally per minute, 4.3 births every second of every day. That shocked me. There are about 2 deaths per second. And so this gives you a perspective of what's happening around the world. Our current world population is approximately 7.2 billion. It's growing. It passed the 7 billion mark in 2011. Expected to reach between 8 and 10 billion by 2050. The number of babies born in the U.S., in 2012, was about 4% of that figure. Now, this is interesting. The average age of the mom giving birth for the first time in America is about 25.8 years. So it's not just all teen pregnancy, as sometimes, you know, we do have a burden and a problem, and we are praying, but it's the first time is 25.8, which means that the average age is getting older for women giving birth. But if you've had a newborn, you know there are prenatal responsibilities prior to giving birth. You know there's doctor checkups and there's ultrasounds nowadays and precautions and vitamins and preparations for bringing the baby home. And how many of you realize when you got the baby home, there was no manual to tell you what the different kinds of crying were? You know, my wife Gail was, children love for kids and nurseries and helped administrate the youth of the children of the church. And you know, she said, Kev, there are different kinds of cries. And I'm going, really? All I hear is a huge cry. But after a while, you do get to learn the different kinds. But I guess nowadays, probably even more than this, a freshest statistic I could find costs about $30,000 to have a normal delivery, about $50,000 to have a C-section, and C-sections are responsible for about 33% of the births that occur. Hospital stays, as you know, are shorter than they used to be because they all usher you in and out of the hospital a lot quicker than they used to be. But you learn about the cries, there's feeding, there's caring, there's clothing, there's diapers, there's late nights, and then there's more diapers, and then there's early morning, and then there's more diapers. And then everybody, come on, moms, you can agree with this, everybody wants to hold your baby. And nowadays, we're all hyper about germs, right? And so everybody wants to get in the face of, oh, it's your little baby. And the moms are sitting there going, get back away from the baby. But all these things that we have concern about, mom's concerned about germs, and that's how we are today. Think back 2,000 years ago. And that little baby was born basically in a small cattle barn or a cave. Wonder about germs. But God's heart was bigger than the germs. Watch the scripture. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called, please say it with me, Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So when Jesus was born, they laid him in a manger. Now, we think of the romantic perspective of the wonderful wood, you know, little manger scene that we've all carved for years and things that we've done. And it's a beautiful story. It's a beautiful perspective. The problem is, in Judea, in Palestine in those days, it wasn't that way. The trough was basically like this. It was a little animal trough. And what they had a lot of, what they didn't have a lot of, were trees. What they had a lot of was stone and rock. And so you had an animal trough that looked like this. And maybe standing out gives you another perspective. The animals would feed in this kind of a little trough. And then you can see it like on a shelf. And typically, if you study where Jesus was born, it was most likely in a cave behind a house. There was no room for them in the inn, if you will. They didn't have a Radisson Hotel or a Marriott for them to go to. It was full up. And so there was a cave in the back, and some of the animals were there, and there was a ledge where there was hay, and the animals would feed, and that's where Jesus was born, for you and for me. The smells of the animals, just think about it. The cold of the night, but a mom and dad who treasured the Son of God. Why a baby? Why a baby? You know, if you really think about it, there were miracles in Israel's past. Multitudes of miracles. And Adam and Eve, and you know the story of Noah, Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob, and then you had King David, but before King David, you had the miraculous deliverance from Egypt, led by the hand of God, but who specifically led him out of Egypt? Moses, right, and Joshua was serving as well, And then you know the history of Israel. They were overrun by other nations and cruel treatment, the bondage that came. And then Moses in the mount gets the law. And God gives him the law. And he comes down with the Ten Commandments. And right there in the mount, God gives Moses the plan that formulates a nation, that birthed the nation of Israel. Then later they had the temple and they had the prophets. This is a people who have known the intervention of God, but right now, when Jesus is born, we have the Romans. The Romans have overrun Israel. They treat them horrifically. Herod treats them miserably, and the Jews hate Herod. Should not truly be on the throne, but he gives them a magnificent temple. Magnificent temple. You have the Pharisees. Pharisees were law keepers. You have the Sadducees. And the Sadducees were the wealthy ruling class who actually weren't as interested in the law as they were making peace with the Romans and ruling with them. The Pharisees provided the rules, the Talmud, the book. They were the people of the book. And the whole identity of Israel was established around the book, the command of God. But their hearts had grown far from the Lord. And the Pharisees developed 365 negative commandments. and 250 positive ones. They couldn't even get up the gumption to get more positive ones than negative ones. But what they really said as the Pharisees, so you consider, you have Israel, who, we're the people of God, right? And try as you might, you can't perfect yourself, and so there you are marching a cow across town in front of everybody, or a sheep, or maybe some birds. Where are you going? Gonna have to commit a sacrifice for my sin. What'd you do? That's all right. I'll see you there next Tuesday. No hope. And basically what the Pharisees were saying, just keep these 600 rules and you'll be fine. Anybody want to try? You can't do it. Absolutely can't do it. Israel, you guys, Israel didn't need another lawgiver. They had Moses. They had already had him. They didn't need another soldier king, for heaven's sakes. They'd already had David, and they loved David to this day. David's the most important person in their history. But they were clamoring for a new king, a new Messiah. They didn't need another set of prophets. They'd already had them. They couldn't turn God's people around. They didn't need another priest. They had an abundant number of priests, and the priests over their years had indulged themselves and enriched themselves, became part of the ruling class. What they needed was someone like ourselves. Someone like us. You reach out and touch your neighbor and pinch him. Don't do it. Especially you guys sitting next to ladies. Don't do that. But you pinch them or poke them or cut them and they bleed. Instead of God being so far away in this back-breaking system that I could never keep to get right and stay right with God, I need someone who really could become my high priest. Can you imagine what they might have been feeling? I really do want to please God. I really do want to be the person God wants me to be. But I don't know how. And I can't keep all 600 rules. They needed somebody who knew what temptation was, just like every other kid. Someone who then became aware of the struggles of keeping a business alive. Someone who had the weight of responsibility as the firstborn after Dad passed away to care for Mom and the family. Someone who loved God and kept His Word in a world of temptation and despair and discouragement and rage, in an era of government-hating desire to throw off the tyrants and in their day basically drain the swamp. Thought I'd wake you up. You all with me there? Someone who could become our high priest. Israel and all of us need God. Come on, church. Can you say it with me? I need God. Come on. Say it with me. I need God. But the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, we need a priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you're alone at 2 or 3 in the morning and you're awake and the rest of your family is asleep, or maybe you're simply alone, is there someone who sees and who really knows? Is there someone? And if you're there, Lord, why did you allow my steps to go this way? Do you really care? And the answer is yes, church. Come on, turn to each other and say, the answer is yes, He cares. We needed someone to come into our world as a baby in a cave around some animals without the glorious pomp and provision who could be just like us. John MacArthur said the birth of Jesus Christ was the most cataclysmic event in the history of the world. Now, this child was unique and born like no other child before or since in all of human history. The most cataclysmic event, The most life-changing dynamic time that had ever occurred. The most dynamic event that changed all of human history. You can think of a lot of events. And this one is the biggest. It was so obvious to the world that this was the high point of human history. That they made it, the birth of Jesus, as the point of human history, the very crossroads of time. Everything before it was B.C. Everything after it was A.D., the year of our Lord. The greatest event in all of human history. The world knows about the event. They know about Jesus Christ. It's a fact. It's not a made-up thing. It's not a shadow of a tale. It's not a fairy tale. It's a true historical fact proven over and over again by treatises and confirmation. Even the world of unbelievers, if they have enough integrity, admit there's no one ever lived like Jesus. The French atheist Renault said, whatever may be the surprises of the future, Jesus will never be surpassed. Napoleon said, I know men and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other man in the world, there is no possible connection. A current historian said a person named Jesus gave certain men such an impact as to be unequaled by far in the entire annals of the human race. After nearly 2,000 years, that impact is not at all spent, but daily, and you've heard them in your lifetimes and decades, daily there are people who have tremendous revolutionary experiences which they associate with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is still spoken about many times as a swear word by some, but as the one they twist the gospel to make it a revolutionary gospel, but they still point to Jesus Christ as the one without parallel, unique and incomparable. Now, how many are glad in this room that you know Jesus? Nobody else like him. Ever before, ever since. What is it with a baby? God comes to you. Luke 2 tells us, 8 through 14. Luke chapter 2, 8 through 14. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were what? Say it with me, please. Greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. How many would have liked to have seen all that? Oh, my gracious. I would have loved to have seen that. Someday we will. We'll see it again. Lord, hit replay. You know, I'd like to see that again. Multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So it came time. Father God said, I'm not waiting any longer. And he brought his son as a baby. He split our world and he changed our lives and all of human history. Now watch this. On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I want you to really understand very clearly what that means. The NIV version says much more accurately than the King James, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. Watch that out of the message. Peace to all men and women on earth who please him. Now listen, I just want to say a very careful statement. We all have this traditional Christmas perspective where you're all supposed to get together as a family, and it's oftentimes totally dysfunctional, and people are all upset and angry at each other. You're supposed to be able to put the perfect tinsel gifts under the tree. It's supposed to be this wonderful Norman Rockwell picture. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. And we get so upset, and there are people that spread this message around the earth like a Christmas card. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Hey, how many know there's nothing wrong with that message? Great message. How many of you know, though, that it's only Jesus who can give the human heart a spirit of peace? Someone say amen. Amen. Only Jesus. And so if you're going to truly have peace on earth, the ones who can receive it are the ones who've surrendered to Jesus, given their life to Him, and received the peace of God. It's not some phony baloney peace that we try to paste on one another as a promise verse. It's by making and surrendering your life to Jesus and getting right with God that you'll then have peace. You know why? Because this message of Jesus being born, God being born as a baby who took as a man your sins and mine, threatens people and shakes them from where they are in their comfort zone. You either need to understand that I'm a sinner who needs this Savior, and that's why God sent Him out of love and grace, or I push that message away from me because I'm fine just as I am. And Jesus wouldn't have had to come as a baby if you and I were just fine just as we are. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
We just happen to be glad He came. Not everybody's glad. But we have to understand the message and what the gospel says in order to be able to share them effectively. Some people don't have that peace, and you need to be able to help them come to Jesus and find that peace. But it took God. See, God initiates. It took God who came to us. Isn't that good news? You know, here He is on the cross. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It took Him going to the cross to get your sin and mine dealt with. We have shame, we have guilt, we have condemnation, and Jesus gets born as a baby, grows to be the man, takes our sins upon Himself. Otherwise, you carry around shame and condemnation all day unless you give them to Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. The scripture says in Romans 5, 8 through 10, but God showed His great love for us. I want you to read this phrase with me, would you please? By sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Wow. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, He will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of His Son, say it with me, please, while we were still His enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of His Son. So what does it mean? It means when you surrender your life to Jesus, you actually say, Lord, I open my heart, I repent of my sins, I know I'm a sinner, and You are the Savior. Come into my heart, save me, wash me clean by the blood You shed on Calvary. I don't get it all, Lord. All I know is You did it for me because sin was what I was born in. And sin is the problem, and I can't perfect myself. Forgive me, Lord. Come into my heart. And that turns the key to make you not an enemy, but a friend of God. Because, let me ask you a question. This is gift-giving season, right? If I got a great gift, and I say, you know, I've got this fantastic guitar, I'm going to give it to you, and I hope you'll give it right back to me. No, but if I've got a gift, and I say, I got a yellow Mustang that I want to give to you, I want to give to your wife. No. I'll give it to you. What good does it do if he never picks up the keys and never drives it away? I may have, with full heart, given a gift. But if the gift is never received, then there's no opening the door to become the friend of God. Amen?
Yeah.
He gave you a gift, church. He gave everybody this gift. That's why we're saying on the Christmas fireside on the 18th from 5 to 7, invite as many people as you can. Invite them to church. We're going to have a Christmas service on Christmas morning. Invite everybody to come to church so we can tell them about the gift of God's Son, Jesus, who came. God initiated. Herod tried to wipe out all the babies born around that time because it understood that there was a newborn king of the Jews. He was threatened by a baby. But most people don't get threatened by babies. And God knew, I need to come in such a way that their hearts will open to me. His death, his life, lived all those things, did it. But he started as a baby, thank God. The gospel, the good news, a baby was born to come live his life for you and for me. So you got to see him, then spread the good news. Come on, say it with me. See him, and then spread the good news. Luke chapter 2, you know the scripture. So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, come on, let's go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste. They ran. They were in hot pursuit of what God had showed them. You know, they saw this big festive party in the sky and angels declaring the good news. They said, come on, let's go see it. How many times does God give us a promise and we sit still instead of get up and say, come on, let's go receive the promise of God. Amen, church? Amen. Come on, say it with me. I receive your promise, Lord. They got up with haste. Let's go see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They went out and they gave the good news away to others. They didn't just keep it to themselves. They knew that God just didn't do this thing just so they'd know, but there was good news to go tell others about. Mary kept all these things. Let's go back. So when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen as it was told them. Guys, that's the most simple form of evangelism. You know, we all struggle. I'm too embarrassed. I don't know how to evangelize. I don't know what to say. All they did is they went out and shared what they had seen and what they had heard. Isn't that what you can do? Hey, this is what he's done for me. Let me tell you what's happened in my life. There's the best form of evangelism there is, and it doesn't take a program or a degree to learn about it. The same happened after the resurrection. Watch what the scripture says. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. So what do we do with this? If you're here this morning and you have not personally given your life to Jesus Christ, then you have not yet personally received the gift God sent Jesus to give you. It's a gift. He's a gift. If you haven't received Him, it's the time to receive Him. If you haven't shared him with somebody else, it's the time to go share him. Go give him away. Yes, he started as a baby, and people are open to hearing about it. But the peace on earth comes when the walls of division are broken down between God and me, God and you, God and men. And Jesus came to do that. Don't let anybody convince you that God doesn't care. The good news is too good to not share. Say that with me. The good news is too good to not share. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Read it out of the New Living with me, would you please? For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life and eternal life. That's the good news, guys. Come on, I said, that's the good news, guys. What can a baby do? What can a small child do? Teach us about the love of God in a simple and sweet way. There was a man who worked very, very hard just to keep food on his table for his family. He was broke, had very little money. It was a few days before Christmas. He punished his little 5-year-old daughter after learning that she had used up the family's only roll of expensive gold wrapping paper. And she had, you know, money was tight. They were always cinching up their belts. And then he got really more upset on Christmas Eve when he saw that she had taken all of the expensive gold wrapping paper just to decorate one shoebox that she had then put under the Christmas tree. He was concerned that she had gotten money and where she had gotten money to buy what she put in the box. Nevertheless, the next morning, Christmas morning, filled with excitement, the little girl got up, picked up the box, and brought that little gift box to her daddy, filled with excitement and love. And she looked at him and she said, "This is for you, Daddy." As he opened the box, father was embarrassed by his earlier overreaction. And then again, a few moments later, after he unwrapped this expensive wrapping in the shoebox, he got even more angry at her because there was nothing inside. And he said, "Don't you know, young lady, that this is a gift? And a gift is when you give a present, there's supposed to be something inside that box that you give." The little girl looked up with tears running down her face. She whispered, "Daddy, it's not empty. I blew kisses into it all night until it was full." The father was crushed, fell on his knees and put his arms around his precious little girl, and he begged her for forgiveness for his anger. Only a few short weeks later, an accident occurred which took the little girl's life. The story is told that the father, for the rest of his life, kept this little gold box by his bed all the rest of the years that he had. Whenever he was discouraged, whenever he faced difficult problems, he would pick up this little box and he would take out one of his little girl's kisses, and he'd remember the gift of love from his little girl who had put it there. She may not have been able to give him all possessions. She gave him that which was more important, her heart and her love. Jesus may not do for you and for me all that we want him to do, may not be all the provision, always instant healing, all the things that answer all our questions. But Jesus came as a little baby because God the Father loves you and me so much that he said, "Here, I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you my son because he's going to grow up and he's going to put a face on me because you've wandered in the wilderness, you've wandered with a hard heart, and you've wondered how to get to me, and I'm coming to you, and Jesus will be able to show you what I look like." And when he stretched out his hands on a cross, and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." God said, "I see it. Now they can come." And that's the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning and you've not given personally your life to Jesus, you've not opened the gift and received him personally, your Father God loves you so much, he's saying it's time. it's time to come. If you have received him, appreciate even more the gift he's given. And you've got people all around you that need the good news of Jesus. What is it about a baby? Open hearts can receive him. Would you stand with me, church? Musicians, will you come? Let's go to the last song, you guys, on our list, the key of G. This morning as we close, if the Lord has spoken to you and you need to come to this front area and receive prayer, I urge you to do so. If you want to stay right where you are in your own chair and pray, I urge you to do so. If you've not given your life to the Lord, you know he's calling you this morning. I urge you to do so. Let one of our team members here pray for you to lead you to our glorious Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this day that you've loved us so much you gave your only son. Thank you that you came as a baby in that manger in a stone trough, a feeding trough for animals. You came lonely with humility, and yet you were loved in a family and grew to be the man who took our sins upon yourself. You died, you were buried, and then you rose again from the dead. And now the Bible tells us you're in heaven, ever living, every moment, to pray and make intercession for your people. You're praying for us right now. Jesus, we thank you, because you are the best gift of all. Can you say that with me, Jesus? You're the best gift of all. And we love you so much. We thank you for this day, Lord, in Jesus' name. This time we've had in your word and in your presence together. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. God loves you so much. We're glad that you've been here. Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Be released in the joy and presence of the Lord.